All right, ladies, my dear sweet friends, you know what? Sometimes we banter in the beginning of episodes. It's a new thing that maybe isn't too new anymore. I don't know, but I'm just going for it. This is what we're doing in this episode. There's nothing for you to say right now. It is time to shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome who we love. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Today, we're interviewing our friend Chantel Holm, talking about supporting one another in the Down syndrome community. We are so excited to have this conversation. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Okay, friends, I'm excited to get to this conversation with Chantel Holm. We came across her because she also has a podcast, a Down syndrome podcast. Isn't that fun? And we love supporting other people in this space. And then her daughter is one of our series in the This is Down Syndrome movement. And so you can head over to theluckyfewfoundation.org or on Instagram, the Lucky Few Foundation. And you can see her daughter Cheyenne's series and see more about her family. And I hope everyone's enjoying the story so far. Mm. We had the Ronnie series we just wrapped up. We just celebrated World Down Syndrome Day last week. And so this conversation's, we were excited to have Chantel on because, like I said, she has a podcast. Mm. And we've talked about this, that we really want to encourage our community to not have scarcity mindset when it comes to all the things happening in Down syndrome and all the opportunities, right, Merce?
Yes. I love that. Amen. Hallelujah. There's room for all.
There's room for everybody and there's room for all the podcasts. Yes. And so what better way to support our community than to support each other? Love that. You know, do you guys, I know sometimes I'll feel this like knee jerk reaction sometimes where I'll want to, like, I'll feel that scarcity, you know, where I'm like, oh wait, oh shoot. And I'll get competitive. Do you guys ever feel that way or just never? Just me?
No, I feel that way sometimes.
What do you do about it? What's your like grounding thing that you do?
I think usually I have to take a deep breath and I remind myself that there's enough room for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that with writing too. I'll be like, that person has the same idea. Oh no, my idea is ruined. Mm-hmm. And then I am like, you know what? I have a different perspective. I can talk about the same thing. It's a different perspective. It's the same thing with, of course, there's going to be a lot of Down syndrome podcasts. There ought to be. There's a lot of people with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And there's a lot of information and it's wonderful for there to be more information available for every caregiver and for everyone who loves someone with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And so I think for me, it's just like a deep breath, remind myself of what I know to be true. And that part of me that feels like things are scarce or feels like I'm the one who needs more attention or whatever it is not the true part of me.
Yeah. So
that part's a lie. Yeah.
I ditto that. It's beautiful. I just usually have to remind myself. I think it's easier. I feel so I love our podcast. I feel like that's what I've decided to pour into and focus on. So it does release a little bit of pressure. You know, it's again, I think it's that online pressure.
Yeah.
Mostly that could maybe bring that up. And I released that a long time ago. And I feel like that was good. Cause I guess, yeah. October would be another month of like, okay, what am I going to put out there in the world? You know, as if I had a deadline, but I don't really. It was like self-inflicted. So I feel, a sense of release. So, but I could see when you're in this space, you know, how it could feel a little bit like, what?
But yeah. I think that it's a natural feeling to feel that, you know, to feel that lack or that scarcity or that like, feeling needing to get competitive or like, wait a second, I started this thing and this was my idea and now someone else is running with it. And I think that's a natural feeling. And then same, I do a similar thing. Like it's that okay, wait a second. If I'm starting to feel these feelings, and they always, to me, they feel yucky, like in my right. core, because yes. it's not my true self. It's a part of me that I, right. That is natural and mm-hmm. normal to feel. And also something I have to be reminded of that they're like scarcity is not something that I want to adhere to. Mm-hmm. And in our specifically with Down syndrome, I believe that the majority of the people who are putting a lot of content out there or creating a podcast or a, I don't know, fill in the blank, the end goal is for all of our loved ones with Down syndrome to mm-hmm. be seen as worthy, right? Like I do believe right. that there is this effort to here on the podcast, we call it shifting the Down syndrome narrative mm-hmm. on this podcast. So then let's just all do it together. And then it's like, okay, great. Then we just cheer each other on, you know? Yes. And so then we introduce people to the, instead of being in competition with all the podcasts, here's all these other podcasts, right? Like mm-hmm. here's another person you can listen to with a different perspective and a different way that they're shouting the worth and a different way that they're shifting the narrative, and how rad that mm-hmm. we get to all be a part of it.
100%.
And I know that we all believe that here at the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. There's a book that I've been reading with my kids that is by this author, Mark Scandrett. And he talks about these kind of different, he has visuals, but these different positions that are like, we are naturally, our instinct is this. Mm-hmm. And this instinct has come from, you know, like millions of years of humanity. Like this mm-hmm. is how we've survived. But here's what we're invited into. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've talked with my boys about is like this, that same kind of picture of like our instinct is anxiety, our instinct is like mm. closed fists, and the thing we're invited into is to open our hands and to welcome and to like embrace what's around us and not close ourselves off mm. and yeah, I like that visual image too.
Mm-hmm. I love that,
you guys, so wonderful. I love our conversations. Let's pause real quick to hear a wonderful and sweet review from a listener. Okay. Now, Strip is the. I read that out loud and I meant to read it in my mind, but that is the name. Okay. Now, Strip says, Dear Lucky Theo, my dearest friend introduced me to this podcast last year. Her son, my nephew, Benson, how cute is that name, Benson, has been a shining light of joy in our lives. I get emotional thinking about what a beautiful resource your podcast has been to Benson's family. To have any chance to better support them immeasurably valuable. Thank you so much for the show. You have loyal listeners in us. Thank you. Okay. Now, Strip.
I want to know about this handle.
She's feisty and fun. I can tell it. I can tell. Thank you for your review and your encouragement. And all of you out there, please don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And maybe we'll read it next week. So no matter what your handle is, you should still leave a review. we love reading these. These are so encouraging to us.
Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. We're going to jump into this interview. This is with our friend Chantal Holm, and she has a sweet 3-year-old with Down syndrome named Cheyenne. She's also the host of her own podcast called Talk. So it's called TALK Down syndrome. She's going to tell you more about that. Help us welcome to the show, Chantal. All right, friends, I'm here with Chantal Holm. She has a sweet 3-year-old daughter with Down syndrome named Cheyenne. She is the host of her own podcast called Talk, capital TALK, Down syndrome. And we're excited to get to hear from her. Chantal, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
Yes, I'm so happy you're here. Okay, tell us, I know that you and your family, which the Mercedes and Mike and I talked about before you came on, you guys participated in the Lucky Few Foundation, This is Down Syndrome Project with your yes. family. And I know that we had met one time before that. I actually didn't see you that day, but we had met a time before that. But your stories are all out. So again, friends, if you haven't had a chance yet, head over to the Lucky Few Foundation and check that out on Instagram and theluckyfew.com. You can see all their pictures and read their stories. It's absolutely stunning. But for people who have not done that yet, and even people who have, can you just introduce yourself to our audience? Tell us a little bit more about you.
Sure. So my name is Chantel. Although I don't want to share my age. I mean, I think it is important. It is important. I am 37 and I have two daughters. My oldest is Jade. She's 6 years old. The youngest is Cheyenne, who was born with Down syndrome. She is 3 years old. And I'm married to my husband, Michael. We live in the Inland Empire. So just a little background. Cheyenne was born. We had all the tests done. At the time, I guess the test did show markers for Down syndrome, but the doctor we had did not let us know that. Huh. So yeah, it was a little awkward, but he didn't let us know, which might have, looking back at it now, might have been a good thing, may have not, but our journey was meant for us a certain way, and that's good. Just how it worked out. So when I did have her, you know, they took her to NICU. She had some issues. And the doctor came back and told me, you know, were you guys tested for Down syndrome, or was she tested for Down syndrome? And it was awkward because I'm like, why are you asking me this?
Right.
Like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I believe so. You know, trying to, through that chaotic moment, trying to realize what was going on and why are you asking me these questions? So, so another 30 minutes later, another doctor came and told us, you know, Cheyenne's showing markers for Down syndrome. I was just like, whoa, what does this mean? And you know, the first thing we do, we have our phones. So you go on Google and they don't give you all the best information, or at least don't make it sound, you know, positive. And so in that moment, it was crazy. I thought my world was going to end. I didn't know what it meant. I was scared for my future. That day, I remember saying, I think I need to quit my job. Like, my mind's all over the place. And I'm crying, and I felt like this is horrible. Like, what's going on? And now looking back, it's been 3 years, almost 3.5 years, and it was the best thing that's ever happened. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, you know, after getting to know my daughter, because I remember feeling like I couldn't take care of her before I even met her, because she was in NICU. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get to see her for a little bit, and I was already, you know, questioning myself if I could be her mom before I even met my daughter, which speaks volumes. Like, how can you, you know, when I look back now, I feel guilty, but I also understand the feelings. I understand them better from now speaking with other mothers and other parents, and just like reflecting, like, you know what? I'm kind of glad the doctor didn't tell me, because who knows what foolish decision I would have made. Mm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So yeah, so then after getting to know her, we brought her home, started to just love her, and like, oh my gosh, this human being, she's amazing. I wanted to find my place, and you know, what can I do for people also like her, other mothers that are struggling or maybe just need some support or guidance or just a friend? Because I felt alone. I didn't know anybody. I actually started reaching out to our local community, our resources, which we do attend Inland Valley Down Syndrome Association, which is in Southern California in Rancho Cucamonga. And I actually called them for a job. I asked them, you know, I wanted to work for them, but I was happy to be able to volunteer. And I've been with them for ever since Cheyenne was born. And then, you know, I started the podcast, but before I started my own podcast, I was actually the host for Save Down Syndrome Organization. I was actually really fortunate to work for them and be able to meet some amazing people, just amazing people. And just started working my way up to doing that. And then I decided, you know what, I kind of want to be a little more flexible. And so I started the Talk Down Syndrome podcast. So it's been almost 2 years.
Very cool.
What a journey. It's been a fun journey. I love it.
Yes. I love to see all those pieces. Okay. I was taking notes while you were talking, because I want to jump back a little bit to one of your questions, and we want to hear all about the podcast and more about your family and what you're doing. You had said, and I didn't write it down quick enough, so this isn't an exact quote, but there was something where you're talking about when your daughter was born and that you had this moment of like, I can't be her mother. So like, or can I be questioning that, you know, like, so like the idea of despair, which is a common theme and a common narrative in a new parent's diagnosis or getting their child's diagnosis. And then you said she's 3 years old and it's, you look back, you're like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So is that feel correct? I'm not misquoting you.
Yes.
Okay.
I said it before, and being involved with being able to talk to a lot of other people that have had their own experiences with similar, I felt like that I came to a point where, you know, when a parent receives a diagnosis from their child, there's parents that I met that, and I kind of subgroup them into two separate groups. There's parents that are like me, that maybe don't have any familiarity with special needs or Down syndrome, and it's the unknown. They don't know what to expect. And most times when you fear something you don't know about, you worry, you stress, you cry until you know, right? Mm. And then there are people that may have had siblings or friends growing up where they've been involved in some way or some form. So they know what Down syndrome is. And then they're kind of like, well, it's not a big deal. You know, I'm happy, you know, to be able to have a child like this. And it's like, I've seen one or the other. And I definitely was the sad person because I didn't know. And right when she left to NICU, it was just like, I called my mom crying, freaking out. I didn't think I could take care of her. I didn't think I was inadequate enough, meaning that I wasn't strong enough. Mm. And I wasn't mentally strong enough. I wasn't brave. I didn't know what it was. And my immediate reaction was, I can't do this. I don't know if I could do this. And I turned to my husband and I was like, I don't know if I could be her mom. And this was like, I said, it's crazy because it's like, I didn't even get to hold her yet. Mm. So I didn't get to have that bond at first until after I had to wrap my head around, okay, Cheyenne has Down syndrome. You are her mother. And this took a lot of my husband telling me this and like, trying to tell me like, listen, this is our daughter. We need to be there for her. This is our family. No matter what she has, what she doesn't have, you need to step up to the plate. We are going to do this. And it took a lot of support from him because I was just a hot mess. I mean, I was crying in the shower. I was crying everywhere. I cried so much. I could have won an award, but I mean, and then later on in life, I'm just like, why? I spent so much time being sad, you know, when she was born. It was amazing. It turned out to be the best journey in like ever.
Yeah.
And anytime I come across a parent that's coming into the community and they're about to have a child and they're feeling that way, it's like, I almost want to just like grab them and shake them and say, stop it. You don't waste your time crying. Don't right. be sad because you're going to really love this. Like, I promise you.
So your husband coming alongside you and helping you in those moments, was there another moment in the last 3 years or specific thing you read or person you listened to? Can you think of a moment of when it started to shift for you? A moment where you're like, wait a second, why was I so sad? Or was it just the whole journey?
You know, I think it was more as I started getting to know my daughter. Because that's when it first started, you know, just seeing her smile. And when she was in NICU, she was there for 15 days. So, you know, they have to put like goals for her. So she cannot leave unless she drinks like a certain amount of mm-hmm. milk, whether it be through the tube or through a bottle. And then we had to meet all these different milestones for her. So she was just killing it. You know, like I would be at home and she was still there and we would visit her daily. But I would call at night and like, how much does she drink? Or, you know, and they would tell me, oh, she like tripled the amount she was supposed to. And she was just hitting those milestones already. And then, you know, being able to breathe on her own, they were like mm-hmm. estimating not for a few days. And then it was like the next day. So I already started to see her fight like mm-hmm. for her way in this world. She wanted to come home. She wanted to be with her family. And although she couldn't tell us verbally, she was showing us through her actions and just progressing so fast. Like, hey, this is not what most people, even myself, once thought of Down syndrome. And then when I started meeting other families, speaking to other parents that have had things like open heart surgery and these things that we didn't experience, but their viewpoints, it just made me feel like, okay, you know, there are lots of people out there in the world that are like me, that are not familiar with this. How can I tell them more about my experience and these other families' experiences, so that way they are more open-minded to down, mm-hmm. not only just Down syndrome, but special needs in general.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I love that, because that's what we're all about, you know, like sharing your story, getting out in the world, sharing with people your story, because everyone has a story that matters. And that proximity piece, that opportunity for relationship, it is a catalyst for the kind of change needed. It's a catalyst for empathy and relationship and understanding, which opens up all the doors that I think you could agree as moms, we're fighting for these doors to be opened, right? We just want people to see our kids as human, right? As like valuable and worthy and human as they are with Down syndrome. And as soon as people have access to our child or to a person with Down syndrome, that speeds up that process, that thinking for people who otherwise wouldn't know to think that way. Yeah. Okay. Tell us about your podcast then. So you start this podcast, the Talk Podcast. Does TLIK stand for something?
Yes. It's okay. Teach, Advocate, Listen, and Kindness.
Teach, Advocate, Listen, Kindness. Love it.
Well, I got the experience by being able to host for Save Down Syndrome, and that was back in 2019. So a year after Cheyenne was born, you know, I was online and they were looking for volunteers, and I'm like, you know what? I could try doing this podcast. And I started, and to be honest, when you're brand new to the podcast world, you're like, where do I start? Cause you're thinking like, I need a studio. I need like the works. But, I was happy to actually find a website, and it was really easy. And I started doing their podcast for them, and that opened up a doorway to be able to interview like more like a celebrity type people in the community. So people on like Born This Way, people that are on TV and on shows. So when I was talking to them, you know, I wanted to interview more families, because just being involved in our association, a lot of us moms depend on other moms for information. I found that, you know, many times doctors have given out maybe misleading information or information that might not be up to date. So a lot of times we depend on talking to other, you know, families that are, you know, if you have a child that has had surgery, you meet another family that had similar surgery, how was their experience? And that's where the support came from. Mm-hmm. And that was where my support came from too, because I had to reach out to other families as well, just to kind of get myself out of that funk. First, it just started off like, okay, let's just try this episode with me and a friend. And then we found another friend, and then it just mm-hmm. took off. And it's about almost 2 years now. And I've interviewed so many different types of people, authors, entrepreneurs, just like amazing artists, storytellers, photographers, not just in the United States, all over the world. I've interviewed people in Nigeria and the United Kingdom and Ireland. And it's just amazing how much everyone is doing out there. And it's so influential to see. And it's not just people that have a child with Down syndrome or a sibling with Down syndrome. There's people on our episode that don't have any relation at all. They just have a love for special needs. And so I've just, it's been a journey, and it's been heartwarming. And I love that I found my niche in a mm-hmm. way in, mm-hmm. in this world. And I just get to meet so many influential people. So that's pretty much how it started. And I feel like I cannot imagine myself not doing this like long-term.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just,
yeah.
If I let it go, I'm like, I'm going to want to know what's going on. Like, I want to be involved with everybody. So, that's just where it's at right now. And it's been really, really fun. It has. I definitely would recommend, if anybody out there is interested, like, to do it. Why not?
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, at first I was worried about the numbers. Oh, I wonder how many people are listening. But when I started to get messages from people that were across the United States, some across in different countries, I had this one lady recently write me, and she was in the United Kingdom. And I'm like, I didn't even know people in the United Kingdom heard this. And she was like, I'm having a baby. She just had her, actually. She's like, I'm having a baby in a few months and I'm nervous. I don't know who to talk to, but I found your podcast and I had her on one of the episodes.
That's awesome.
And now that she's had her child, we keep in touch, and her child's a beautiful girl and she's happy. And it's just nice to see that, you know, yeah, that even just a podcast or something to listen to can help somebody that's feeling upset, or maybe they're questioning things, or maybe they're worried, and just to kind of be that support for them. It's very important.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think it's pretty incredible how small the world actually is, how technology and things like social media and podcasts can make the world so much smaller for us. And mm-hmm. that shared link with Down syndrome is so powerful in bringing people together. So that's really very cool. What you had said, you really wanted to have other moms on. You really started this podcast and a lot of the work that you do because of your experience as a new mom. So what are some of the things, like themes that have come up over the years of doing this podcast and talking to other moms that you say, like, it brought you to this point of, these are the things that I share with a new parent. Like, this is my little spiel for a new parent. Yeah.
You know, I think common theme that I've realized is the awakening. So a lot of people, like I said before, myself, you are nervous and you don't know what's going on. And until you actually live it and you experience what Down syndrome is for you as a new parent, because I mean, we all have different journeys, but yet similar, because, you know, in my journey, I didn't have to have any medical issues. But in the person next to me that has a child with special needs or Down syndrome, they might have a lot of medical issues. And I think that a common theme is just, you know, a lot of men and women, they're nervous and they're scared. And then it's not until they live it and they're going through it that they feel more uplifted, more inspired. And I think that's just what I've seen just interviewing so many people. It's like, you know what? It's not going to be as scary as you think it is. Mm-hmm. There might be moments in your journey that you are, you know, worried, or you're fearing, you know, something's going on with your kid. And there might be some scary moments, but you will grow as an individual, as a parent. Just overall, you and your family are going to grow from it. And you have to look at it that way, because mm-hmm. you can't let these scary moments define you or eat you alive. And I've seen that a lot of families that I've interviewed had different age groups, the newborns, adults. And at the very end of it all, they're happy and they're glad, you know, no matter what they had to go through, they came back stronger. And, you know, it's beautiful to see that. Mm-hmm. And it's also insightful, because although my daughter, she's doing pretty well right now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next right. week or next month. And you never know. So it's
with all our kids, Down syndrome or not, with us. Yeah. With every human. That's just the reality. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Yeah.
As much as you are scared of that and you're worried, just be strong. And when you make it out and you guys are doing good, or, you know, you'll be stronger. You have a good support group here. That's the more feedback I get from listeners. Mm-hmm. Is when there's a new mom or somebody that has just went through even just a lot with surgeries too, because surgery is a scary thing. When I see medical issues or an expectant mother, any kind of feedback that I get from listeners, it's like, oh my gosh, I really connected with this story. Are really connected with this person, because I'm in that place right now.
Yeah.
And I needed to hear it, you know? So it's really beautiful to be able to link people together that way.
I love that you bring moms on like that. That's a really special resource that you're offering to the community. I think that's really powerful. So then what are some advice that you would have for people listening, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas? We know that it's mostly moms, but I've met some of you dads out there. And a lot of the grandparents too, which is my favorite. But what would you say to that new parent, or even the parent that might just be feeling lonely right now, about finding community, finding Down syndrome community? We've talked about this on the podcast before. We've had some guests on, and just, we know that community is so important, especially in those early days when you're like, am I all alone here? Where are the other people? That idea of being seen and being understood is so important. What is your advice to parents to find that community?
You know, I think right now we live in a world of social media, which is great because, you know, like I've talked to people that were either had their child decades ago where there was no internet, and their child's like adults now, you know, in their 30s and 40s, and they didn't have smartphones and access. And it was very unfortunate because, you know, in those times that those interviews that I've interviewed them, they're like, we didn't have anything. We didn't have anybody to talk to. We had to go to our doctor who would let us know if there was like a resource center. And in that resource center, there may have been one or two people. So they didn't have anything at their fingertips to be able to connect with other people like that are going through the same situation. And I think right now we have that. We can, you know, I could easily talk to somebody across the world and, you know, just gain a friendship that way without ever meeting them, without even calling them on the phone, just through simple texting and, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. So I think that, you know, without that, I think our world would be so much different. I don't think we would be as advanced, especially like knowing about what Down syndrome really is. I mean, we know what it is medically. We know what it means to have an extra chromosome and what that could medically entitle. But do we really know what it is?
Right.
Meaning like, do you know somebody, or can you see like how they progress and how they have their own say-so in this world and how they could be good members of society? What talents they have, you know what I mean? What value they have.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think that, you know, a new parent coming on who needs support, use your tools, grab your phone. Everybody has a social media account. If you don't, go to different websites, you know, and there's always different links and ways to connect with people. And it's crazy because we have all these tools, but yet we're still fighting the great fight of, hey, these are our children. They have Down syndrome. Right. It's nothing scary, you know, it's amazing. And so I think right now people like that are expecting mothers and stuff like that. They're doing that, and they're using these tools to reach out. And I'm seeing a lot of linkage between communities. So it's really nice to see that, but that would be my advice.
I agree. Yes. And amen to that. One last question, and then we're going to do some good news. And you touched on this a tiny bit, but I'm always curious, as somebody in the space who, I'm an author, I've written some books, I have a podcast, we've done some products. We're not a product company by any means, but people will reach out. Like, I think I have a book idea, but I don't know. I think I have an idea to do these things. And I have found, especially in younger moms. So like moms in your shoes, in the position you're in, you have a child who's a toddler, but we find ourselves, this is my story too. You're like, wait a second, something has to change for my kid. And then you just like bolt into advocacy mode. And for a lot of people, that looks like doing a thing. So you have this podcast, right? You're this person starts a t-shirt company, or there's all these different things to do. And I have a certain thing that I tell parents when they reach out to me, like, I think I want to start this thing, but I don't know what to do. But what do you say to the parents listening to this who are saying, I want to do a thing. Should I do a thing? Is there room for me to do a thing? What?
You know, let me tell you something. So when I first entered this community and I was trying to find my place, it was going to buddy walks and it was talking to their parents. It was joining our association, but I felt like, well, I want to do more. What can I do more? Cause I feel like, you know, I could go and be a part of these groups, but how can I like voice other people and just like, what can I do here? And if you're coming up with an idea that you feel in your heart is something that is worth it, whatever it is,
don't be scared to take that first step. It's okay. You have to start somewhere. And I definitely think that no matter what it is, there is always room. There's mm-hmm. always room. You know, I was, you know, before I started this, I listened to the Lucky Few podcast. And that was before I even wanted to do a podcast. This was just me being a listener. And it was nice to hear other people in my shoes and just hear these stories and be like, wow, there's actually a big community out there. It's never going to go out of style. You know what I mean? It's never going, there's never going to be a story that has, is not as interesting as the last story. It's always going to have its uniqueness, you know? So if somebody goes on your podcast and has a similar story to another family that goes on my podcast and has a similar story, it's okay, because no matter what, even if it reaches one person, one family that needs a little bit of support, it's worth it. Right. No matter what it is. It could be, you know, I have people that were entrepreneurs that were, you know, jewelry makers, and people that have been in like the theatrical world, like doing, having people that have special needs be on plays and stuff like that. And although I've had several of those types of people that are in the same business, same type of like entrepreneurship and all that, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be the top person, as long as you are doing your best. And as long as you are helping somebody else, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. I love it. That's good. I say to people, we have to have the mentality, like exactly what you're saying, that there's room enough, there's always more room. And when we're doing work, advocacy work, like if our end goal is to make this world great for people with Down syndrome, to make it better, to have that new mom not feel that sense of devastation because she has more resources and more opportunity and more access to people with Down syndrome, and to make sure our kids have a place in a school, all these things, right? Like, I want to believe we're all in this work of advocating for our loved one with Down syndrome to give them a better life. If that is what we're doing, there is room for everybody. If it shifts over to, I'm doing this thing not for the betterment of my child, but for fame or for whatever, then it's just a different space. It's not that that's bad. It's a different mentality. It's a different space of entering into, but we can't risk being competitive in the work of Down syndrome, the work of advocacy in our Down syndrome community. It's not a competition. We're here for our kids, right? Like, we're here for that end goal, for the world to see the value and worth in our loved one with Down syndrome. And if that's what your heart is, and that's why you want to start the new thing, absolutely 100% start the new thing. Like, do that thing. And even more powerful, I think, if you have an idea and you're like, hey, I think I want to do, this is just the first thing in my head, I want to create a basket for new moms. Then you like Google that, and then you find them like Jack's Baskets. Oh, it exists. Not that you can't also do your own thing, but what does that look like to partner with what already exists? You know, like, take all that energy and all that creativity and all that effort and say, hey, I'm going to partner with this company that already exists. So I think there's room for everybody. And how do we make sure that we're working together and opening our arms up for the whole community to come join the effort?
We're all strong parents, I feel like. And even though there are moments where, like I said, I was crying on the floor, I wasn't thinking that I was a strong parent, it comes to find out that we all are. And it's really beautiful to see that happen and to be able to watch that from afar for other people in the community.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of all the different talents of our kiddos, we are going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and do a segment called Good News. I would love if you can think of a little bit of good news that you'd like to share about your daughter when we get back. Hey friends, Heather Avis here. I'm excited to share with you about the Lucky Few Foundation, where we believe storytelling is the key to shifting the Down syndrome narrative. We believe sharing our stories fosters empathy, and it creates a kinder, more inclusive world. One of the avenues in which we do this is through our foundation and our storytelling project called This is Down Syndrome. This is Down Syndrome is a unique storytelling machine that we use to shout the worth of people with Down syndrome. It is a project positioned to tell real, diverse, and inclusive stories, stories which will get real people having real conversations, changing hearts and minds, and shifting narratives. Stories which not only benefit the Down syndrome community, but strengthen our collective humanity. because it's one thing to know about Down syndrome, and it's another thing entirely to know a person with Down syndrome. This is an invitation for you to help us create a world where everyone belongs. The Lucky Few Foundation believes storytelling is central to this mission, and we invite you to join us. Head to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more. Okay, so we are back with some good news. This is the portion of our episode where we like to celebrate the little things, the big things, and everything in between that our loved one with Down syndrome is up to these days. Do you have some good news about your sweet Cheyenne?
Okay, so it's a little bit, maybe a little bit TMI, but the best news that has happened to our family this week is that Cheyenne is about 75% out of diapers and is wearing underwear.
This is amazing.
So that's
very good news.
It has been so hard to potty train.
Oh gosh.
My oldest daughter, Abreeze, she learned in like a weekend. Cheyenne has taken a lot of time sitting on the toilet, knowing where the toilet is, knowing what the feelings are. So the fact that we at our house and at her school are able, because she goes to daycare, are able to collaborate, and now she's wearing underwear and now she's like going to the bathroom properly. That is the best news for us.
Yes. Woo.
Diapers get expensive.
Yes. Potty, all of the potty training or the bathroom good news, we will just all day. I think all of the parents are like, yes, I understand, or like, help me, because it is a whole thing. It's all the potty training things. Good news. Good work. Yay. Yeah, I love it. All right. We have some good news from a listener. This is from Krista Scholl. Krista says, my 7-year-old elopes frequently. During spring break, she asked if she could go say hi to the neighbors. She went and visited our neighbor's house and returned home with no prompting. And there's an emoji like the hallelujah hands. And I will say, this is some good news. Every time my kids do a thing that is a challenge and they do it with no prompting, I just want to always celebrate that. Oh my gosh. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that good news. As we are wrapping it up here, if you are a listener and you have some good news about your loved one with Down syndrome, or if you're a person with Down syndrome listening and you want to share some of your own good news, you can do that in lots of ways. Head over to theluckyfewpodcast.com. You can email us. You can find us on social media, The Lucky Few Pod. And we spend a lot of time there. So you can DM us your good news. You can leave it in a comment. You can email hello@theluckyfew.com. And thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, for editing this episode, to our producer, Val Schleter, for producing it and being the reason the episode is here. We say it all the time, friends. We cannot speak enough good praise over our dear Valerie. Chan, thank you for being on the podcast today. So fun.
Thank you so much.
So fun. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the work that you're doing. Let our listeners know how they can find you.
Okay. So we are on Instagram at the Talk Down Syndrome Podcast. You can email me. It's talkdsonepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just look for the Talk Down Syndrome Podcast. We'll be providing that on our Instagram as well too. And one thing I want to share is on our podcast, do a lot of giveaways because everybody loves. So we will be doing a giveaway this month, and just look out for them. They're usually mostly every holiday, and especially in October for Down Syndrome Awareness Month. So just check those out if you want to enter in for a giveaway.
That's so fun. I love that. So make sure that you go listen to that podcast, subscribe to that podcast. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't subscribed, do that. Wherever you get your podcasts from, you can write a review. Anything we've talked about that's going to be in show notes, you can get those show notes at theluckyfewpodcast.com, and make sure you're following along. Also, finally, and most importantly, listener, we are so grateful that you're here. You are slaying it, and we love you. And we're here cheering you on. Can't wait to be together on a new episode next week. See you later.
Bye.